Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
And Dana, I believe you poured yourself something, as our normal ritual here is.
I feel lacking, though, because it's just water again.
Just water. Wow. You know, we're going to have to get you back into this swing because, again, what is the whole nexus of this show's title was you coming over to my office.
I know.
Getting yourself a nice cup of coffee out of my K-Cup machine, which I bought under duress and pressure of our student workers. We're like, we like coffee too, but, you know, they like fancy stuff. And so the regular coffee pot in the office would never do.
No. You
know, I mean, we'd have to buy some super fancy schmancy beans for them to grind and then make their coffee. So I got the K-Cup machine. And that's how we started What's Brewing, CISFA. We'd jibber jab back and forth a little bit and talk about what's going on in today's news. So,
well, I have a good reason though. And it's because the air quality has been pretty bad out here.
Oh,
I
understand.
Yeah. So, you know, it's much drier and, you know, we're getting a lot of ash and, you know, the smoke smell. So, I gotta stay hydrated.
No, I would say yes. Make sure keep hydration first on your list. Yeah, don't dry yourself out. But yeah,
we don't want to pass out during the podcast.
Yeah, please. It's only 30 minutes. It's not like we're doing some Howard Stern, Joe Rogan. Let's see if we can go for 2+ hour kind of thing here.
Right.
But it's funny that I brought up the K-Cup machine only because, you know, it's been sitting lonely in my office. Luckily, I think I had cleaned it, or I had the student workers clean it before we all made the mass exodus from campus. But I have asked one of our coworkers if she would take it home with her and kind of watch over it.
Care for
it. You know, exactly. Yeah, take care of it. I told her to take whatever K-Cups you find in the office because you bought us a nice little rack to put them in, which was always handy. But I'm sure there's some laying around, and I don't know if they have an expiration date, but it's better to, you know, just go ahead and use them up. And whenever we do return to campus, which we'll talk about later in the show,
absolutely,
at that point, we'll just buy some new ones.
Yes, you know? I second that motion. We should just buy some new ones.
I think we can do that. So just to line up people for our next show, this is the one we're doing on Tuesday today here, but we have a show planned for Friday, and Dana, we have our second interview subject.
All right.
We can go ahead and say we have Tamara Shinar, who is currently the Vice President of State Issues for CISFA, coming on to the show. She is also what would be, in a sense, the past president, which means she was president at one point of CISFA. And she's up there at Butte College. So I think we'll have a lot of things to talk to her about.
We're going to have some shenanigans.
If you saw the emails back and forth, yes, I'm very much expecting that. She's high energy. She's very smart. I find her to be one of the more innovative financial aid directors I've ever talked to when it comes to things that she does, because she always has, you know, her students first and foremost in her mind when she's thinking about stuff on campus, in the office. And I think it's why she's so interested. And we'll find out directly from her during the interview why she was so interested in, again, after being president of CISFA, which usually drives people into retirement or out of state, to come back and do state issues, because I think she has such a real love to, you know, again, do things to help our students out.
That's awesome. I can't wait to meet her.
Oh, she's fantastic. We'll see her on the video. People won't, unfortunately, because we haven't figured out how to monetize that yet. No, I think a video podcast might just be way too much for people at this point. But maybe someday in the future, you never
know. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Well, let's do a little bit of news in this first segment, seeing that we have some time, and then we'll cover some other things along the way as far as upcoming conferences and such. So I wanted to, I'll kick us off, Dana. You know, something from our friends over at WASFA. WASFA is the Western Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators. They kind of cover like all the Western states, including Alaska and Hawaii. So when they have a conference, especially in Hawaii, people all want to go. Who could have guessed, right?
I wonder why.
Yeah, right. Well, they luckily do some other things, and they keep these stateside. They have a sister Dale Brown Institute, and then they have. That. Oh yeah, that's right. You went to that one, yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And now they're offering scholarships for their Jerry Sims Management and Leadership Institute. So this is a 3-day virtual event this year, covering topics relevant for financial aid directors, those who aspire to be directors, and leaders within higher education in general. Sessions are going to cover, you know, change and transition management of a team, or especially for those who might be new directors, strategic planning for your office, professional development, dealing with difficult situations of those you supervise. So those who are interested in applying for a scholarship to cover the $150 registration fee are encouraged to submit the application as soon as possible. The deadline is September 20th. And we're going to have a link to get you out to that site in our show notes. You'll find more information, of course, at wasfa.org, WASFAA.org. But they're using a separate company to handle the scholarship. So I'll make sure I get a link out there on the website.
And some more news, NASFA's award-winning diversity leadership program aims to advance the careers of individuals from marginalized and unrepresented groups in the association and create a strong and diverse pipeline for association leadership as well. The DLP is seeking 6 new participants to receive a robust portfolio of benefits, mentorship, and guidance to aid in their development as financial aid association leaders. In addition to the many great benefits offered in years prior, DLP participants who qualify to sit for the Certified Financial Aid Administrator Knowledge Exam will be granted a one-time fee waiver for the application and examination fees. Applications are due Wednesday, September 30th, you can refer to the DLP webpage for more information, and the link will be in our show notes.
That's right. It's going to be, for those who know NASFA's website, nasfa.org/DLP. But we'll put that link into the show notes. Something else I've been kind of keeping track of, I get a lot of email, weekly and daily updates from a variety of sources, as do you, I'm sure, Dana, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get one from University Business Magazine. They used to have they do print a magazine, but it's amazing how sporadic it seems to show up for whatever reason, even during these times where our mail is just kind of sitting piling up. But they've been keeping a webpage there listing all the different free higher education resources that have been available during this pandemic. And I found a couple interesting ones, and I'll even let you share with one of them. For example, I don't know if you remember back in high school math and college math days where you'd have to spend about $100 on a really nice calculator. Did you ever have to do that, Dana?
Dennis, I was lucky if we got a book.
Oh, really? You didn't
have
to.
That's a whole other story.
I'm not going to say, oh, my God. I'm not going to say the name of the company, but let's say the name of the calculator was TI-99, I think it was.
Okay.
And this was a pre ones that would graph and all this. Well, okay. Forget about
you,
that.
Oh,
now.
You mean those big, thick, like gray?
It was like ones. The size of like an iPhone 15.
Yes,
you know? I mean,
yes.
It's huge. Yes. And they would do all things all the way up to calculus. Well, the nice thing is Casio, you know, same people that now make all my watches, you know, nice watches. They have a website that offers a free all-in-one web-based calculation tool that it has calculators, graphing, geometry, and statistics all kind of built in. So you put in that very cryptic looking math formula, and it does the work for you as far as the graphing and other stuff. It is free until the end of 2020, and it's available out at classpad.ned.net/US. Just something in case somebody needs a free kind of calculator kind of program. It looked really interesting.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I think I'm going to check it out myself.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, you know, in case you ever thought you wanted to do some kind of graph work in calculus.
I liked it. Helping students. And
exactly. That's what it's about.
Hey, guys. So if you're a music major or just interested in symphonic orchestral music.
Like you are, right?
Yes, absolutely. The League of American Orchestras has created a listing of performances by orchestras across the nation. It has performances, recordings of old performances, and resources for those who enjoy the more refined genre.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Uh-huh. So you can find more at symphonyspot.org. Yeah. And the link to the website will be in the show notes.
I looked at this too, and it's amazing. You'd be surprised to think that Anchorage, Alaska, Albany, New York, Akron, Ohio. I stayed in the A's, of course. It was alphabetical. All have some kind of symphony. And they have different links, again, to all those types of things, like old shows, resources about the members, learn about, Gothic music or whatever. It's just, I know symphonic music might not be on the top of your list, Dana, but you know, we have a great station down here in Southern California that when I can't get my Apple CarPlay to work sometimes, and play some podcasts, like What's Brewing CISFA, I'll turn into KUSC at 91.5 and get my daily dose of classical music.
So you get your symphonic orchestra music.
I do. And sometimes opera on the weekends just because of timing. But it's really good stuff. And again, it's compared to commercial radio, there's a lot less commercials on a public station like this. Thank goodness. but for those of you looking to explore more of the free resources, I'll just tell you, check out the University Business Magazine's website, and we'll have a direct link in the show to how to get to that because it's a super long link. I think our last news item here before we close out the first cup here, as Dana's probably slurping away there. One last item. I saw something about some innovation being done at a school down here in the Southern California area. Cal Lutheran University, located in Thousand Oaks, which is kind of that L.A. Ventura borderline area there.
Campus.
Yeah, it is. They got the write-up in University Business Magazine and on their website in an article titled How One University is Making Patio Classrooms a Reality. And so the article dives really into the efforts made by CalU, as they're known, to offer some of their classes under tents and on the grounds of the university. They have some pictures there, and it kind of shows you how they socially distance, but they have these gigantic tents now. And if you've ever wondered about all the work that'd be required to go into such an effort, check out the article. It's really interesting what they've done because I'll say, we think of it as terms of, you pop up a tent and all the kids come with their laptops and everything just kind of works. But it doesn't, you got to have power, got to have Wi-Fi, in some areas on, even like on our campus, I'll say you can walk through parts of our campus and, when we've done events, we of course are always set up in the area with the dead spot, so you don't think about that. You just don't think about that when you're up outside, but how do you set up a projector when it's bright? How do you set up tables? What if it rains? And I think you brought up when we were talking pre-show, smoke, I assume you're right.
Yes.
Is Thousand Oaks got smoke? And how is that now affecting if you preset yourself to have that class? So it's a very interesting article. It's pretty long. So it's probably not a bad read for people like us or people way above us on the food chain at the universities and colleges to look at all the types of things that you'd have to take into account because, it might just be part of the reality going forward is that we look at how do we do more classes potentially outside so that we can still get students onto campus. And, you know, Kowloon, residential type of campus, but even community colleges might be looking at things like that. So, Dana, do you think it's time for us to move on to another segment?
It's about that time.
I think so, too. So why don't we take a little musical interlude here before we move on?
And welcome to our second cup segment on the What's Brewing Cease for Show.
So hopefully you are pouring your refill there to get us through the show.
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, let's just kind of go over some of the things non-newsy, but some of the things going on. So I'll kick us off. If you didn't know, CASFA, the California Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators, our big brother, our big sister there, that handles all the different segments of colleges and universities across the state, whether that be two-year public schools like us at CISFA, four-year public schools, four-year private schools, four-year for-profit schools. They're having their conference, you know, planned for October as always. So they have their October conference this year from October 26th through the 30th. They're spreading it out over 5 days. It will be a virtual event. And I believe they're using the same platform that NASFA has used during the summer while they were doing a webinar series. So it's a pretty robust system, and there'll be more information being posted out at CASFA.org shortly. Just so you know, I'll be one of the presenters there, Dana.
All right.
I'm doing my presentation that I did a couple years ago for CISFA when we were out in Palm Springs called How to Be a Better Presenter and Create Better Presentations.
Okay.
I guess I have to do some updating because obviously we're talking about 2.0 version at this point of how do you do that in the virtual world.
Yeah. So have you come up with any like cool ideas or?
Well, a little bit. I'll say last week was also the first high school counselor workshop, or now we call it the annual statewide financial aid workshops. Mm-hmm. These are the ones that CASFA and Student Aid Commission have worked on for many, many years. CISFA is also involved in it.
Okay.
And these workshops, you know, last year we did 43 in-person workshops across the state.
Ooh-wee.
About 6,000 plus counselors came out. And Student Aid Commission staff, CASFA and CISFA provided presenters. A lot of these were done at community colleges. So I want to thank and send mad props out to our CISFA members out there who have given us space in the past. Uh-huh. This year, they're doing it a little different. They're just going to do one workshop per week and do it virtually so people can just sign up in mass. You don't have to go to the one in your area because there is no specific area. Mm-hmm. But last week, we kicked it off. First workshop, actually, Anna Faye was the first presenter, and I moderated. And I'll have to say, for having 300 people in that room, because that's the max capacity we had.
Right.
The moderating was exactly what you'd expect it to be, a mad rush of questions constantly. And I did my best to keep up. And I'll say I did okay, you know, right up until maybe the last few minutes. So in prep for our next ones, one thing I did learn is when you have that kind of circumstance, I found a pattern when you don't have a Q&A box like you would with the webinar option on some of these platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's just a chat box, you know, you're going to have questions that just kind of roll in and then you're inserting your answer somewhere below. So when that happens, what I found is I'll just keep going up to the top where I know I haven't seen the question. Okay, so this is the next question. I will copy the text. In the box, I'll put the letter Q with a colon and then paste the text. So that's the question. And then right after that, in the same box, I'll put an A with a colon and then insert my answer.
Okay.
And it seemed to work pretty well throughout most of it. So I'm going to say that in the cases where you have large presentations, part of my part of my presentation at the CASP conference will be about how you prep ahead of time to hopefully have a couple people helping you moderate your chat or your Q&A.
Yeah, and that's a really good tip to use when answering questions in the chat box. Because I know you and I have partnered in doing those type of presentations. And
that's right. You did the same kind of response thing where you had to respond and moderate while I was doing the presentation. So there'd be some other tips, probably the biggest ones. Some of the downside things you find out about things is audio quality is such a difference in this world because and it's not that people are lazy, but we are who we are, right? You're given a laptop, I'm given a laptop. Absolutely. So when we do a Zoom, unless we're the main speakers, we're not really thinking about the fact that we're talking into a teeny tiny little microphone, possibly hitting behind something else on the computer. And you're in a noisy, echoey room, and all those things make a big difference. And so I do talk quite a bit about that in particular. And someone had sent me a video years ago called Just Use the Mic. And it was from an organization that works on these kind of things to remind people about the fact that you could have people who have hearing issues. And again, hearing isn't just always a case of you can hear or you can't hear. It's more along the line, you may have people who are hard of hearing, have cochlear implants, and thus hear differently.
Yes.
And so even when you're in a group of maybe 20 people and you're in a conference room, it's like, oh, I'll just talk louder. The video is really funny how it goes into that, and I think I'm going to throw it into my presentation if I can get an okay from them, how to think about audio quality in any size group that you do. Just like this podcast. You know, me and Dana have fancy microphones that Dennis bought.
Fancy.
You know, I found a way, even in these socially distanced times, to throw it to her on her balcony, to plug into her equipment, so that she too could have good audio quality. But it's because that'll be another thing about keeping in mind audio with that. So, boy, that was a lot about CASP. We should really start charging them a little bit of money, right?
I guess some sponsorships, come on.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I'll throw out the next one here. The State Chancellor's Office has just announced, and there'll be more information rolling out on this too, about the new financial aid director's training coming November 16th through the 18th. Again, it's going to be in a virtual environment. And this year, compared to other years where normally they focus on people who are brand new financial aid directors in the community colleges here in California or within the last year or so, and those who aspire to be directors, this year, Dana, they're opening it up to almost like any financial aid staff people if they really want to attend.
That's awesome. Okay.
So maybe, you know, if you don't specifically aspire to be the next director of financial aid when I finally retire, you might want to consider going yourself, Dana.
To cause mayhem?
Yeah, well, are you going to Zoom bomb the training by the chancellor's office? Is that what you're going to do?
That's my master plan.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know if that's mean or just incredibly smart. I don't know. What's the proper term? Nefarious? I think that's what that is.
Yes. Yes.
I think you are. I think.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's talk about a non-financial aid item here. So I don't know about you, but if you've been through a drive-through lately for a little bit of fast food, have you noticed the signs about coin shortages?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So without saying the company's name, but there's a large-scale coin collecting kiosk company, you know, where you go into like a CVS or something like that. You find this little kiosk. It's gotten so bad now. They are now offering an extra $5 Amazon credit if you put in at least $30 of your coins towards an Amazon gift card.
Oh, wow.
So now you turn in $40 of coins, you get $45 credit. Ain't that nice?
But like you said, you have to get an Amazon gift card.
Exactly. And this was something amazing. I forgot who I was talking to because we were talking about coins and the shortage of coins and how they just turn theirs in, but they always hate losing the, let's say, 9% at these kiosks, you know, for fees, right?
Yeah.
Well, I just do this. I said, I probably shouldn't have said it this way. I said, I just do the smart thing, which is get the Amazon gift card. And this person was, it was as if I just told them someone, you know, walked on the moon. What do you mean? I go, don't you go to a machine where it asks you about, do you want cash back? You know, you go to the register, get some bills or a gift card. He goes, I never saw that. Maybe I hit the buttons too fast. I go, yes, you can get like gift cards for a variety of places, not just Amazon. Yes. We're not just advertising for them. Uh-huh. But you can get a variety of these things. So
yeah, you can.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was a complete shocker. He's like, oh my God, that's such a great idea. So let's hope they follow through on that.
You just blew their mind.
I know. Well, here's another one that's going to blow your mind, Dana.
Okay,
and
I'm we'll getting ready. I'm holding on to my chair.
This is the last one
I'm
before we close out the session here.
Okay.
I guess saw on the news this morning, Sotheby's Auctions is doing a big auction of hip-hop memorabilia.
Okay.
You know, they have it all, apparently. They've got the crown that Biggie wore, I guess, in one of his last photo shoots.
Okay.
You know, it's a little crooked thing.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I know.
They've got something that I think you're going to need to put into your closet. Salt and pepper coats.
Are these the cross color, like black leather with the cross colors?
They got the colors and everything, and on the back is the salt and pepper logo. Oh yeah,
this I'm gonna have to borrow some money from you.
You're gonna have to probably borrow a lot because this is Sotheby's. This isn't eBay. They have that. They showed a whole wall of gigantic, you know, portable stereos or boom boxes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yes.
And then the last one that, and I missed the information on this, but apparently they have like a letter from Tupac to his high school sweetheart, girlfriend, or whatever.
Okay. I wonder if it's to Jada Pinkett Smith. You know, they were together.
You know, I don't know because it moved along pretty quickly there. And so I didn't really quite catch you. They just said I love you or something like that and had Tupac at the end of it.
You know,
back from his high school days.
I'm definitely interested in those coats.
Yes. Yes, obviously.
I'm going to have to advocate for myself and you probably possibly giving me a raise and probably several advances for my paychecks.
Oh, Dana, isn't that funny? You know, we're running out of time here in this segment here. We're going to take another musical interlude.
How convenient.
Yeah. We'll be back in a few. Oh, and then the music fades back, and of course, you know what that means. We are up to our last sip. Get that last sip in, everybody. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time today for an I Dare You To, and I assume you are still saving one up for us?
Yes.
No problem.
I have a pretty good one.
Okay. I will just throw out there really quickly before we get going then on all of this. I have a actual CDs in the house I'd ordered, and there's this band out there, if you haven't heard of them, called The Ghost of Paul Revere. They are not hip-hop at all. I just got their new album, it just came out, called Good at Losing Everything. I've got a number of theirs. They're very Avett Brothers, Lumineers kind of style music. Very acoustic. And amazingly, they came out to play in L.A. Sometime last year. I saw them down in like the Echo Park area at a place called The Echo. Very good stuff. Very interesting stuff. But Dana, that's about all we have time for today. So I want to thank you, our co-host here, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
Hey, everyone. Remember to check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You'll find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
And for this and all future and past WBC, or What's Brewing CISFA podcast, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcasts.google.com and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on your Apple Podcasts app. And as always, you can find all our episodes at wbccisfa.podbean.com. That's wbccisfaaa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean as one word.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
And this has been episode number 20, recorded the morning of Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. Have a great day.
And have a great week.